The safety is off. There's a round in the chamber. This is Armed Alabama. Sponsored by McCoy Outdoor Company, Mobile's hometown full-line outdoor sporting products and gear store. An interactive talk show discussing self-defense, product reviews, shooting tips, safety, and more. Your calls, comments, and texts welcome at 343-0106. Now, here are your hosts, retired judge and certified NRA instructor, Rusty Johnston, and certified NRA law enforcement instructor, Adam Strange.
City lights don't shine. I live my life the simple way, and you know I'm doing just fine. I fish, I hunt, and I shoot my guns, and I raise a little hell. The things I do, you know I do them well. This is my America, and I'm so proud. I say it loud. This is my America. God bless America. The land of the free. Because of the brave. This is my America.
Welcome to Armed Alabama, glad you could join us tonight. We've got a good show for you. As always, this is your show about self-defense, firearm and ammo selection, home protection, concealed carry, training, proper range etiquette, and of course, the law, Alabama, Florida, Mississippi, and U.S. law. If you have a comment or question for myself or the judge here in the studio, give us a call. 251-343-0106. You can call or text to that same number. We'll be glad to hear from you, and we'll be glad to answer any questions that you may have. Also, you can watch us live. We're simulcasting live on our Facebook page, and that's Armed Alabama Radio, FM Talk 106.5. And please like, save, and follow while you're there. And you can see myself and Judge on Facebook. And Judge has actually brought some little show-and-tell items tonight. So
right.
I hope you brought those to talk about that. And be sure and check us out on Twitter and our YouTube channel. Just simply Armed Alabama. Please like and click the bell there to subscribe. And that way you'll be notified every time we post new videos.
And, you know, on YouTube, we need to push for, I think we've got about 850 subscribers.
Wow.
And 1,000 is kind of you get more privileges. So if you go to our YouTube page occasionally, but don't, you know, I've subscribed to 200 channels, so it's kind of meaningless. But if you're not like me or you are like me, go ahead and subscribe to it so we can get over that 1,000 mark.
And on YouTube, it's Armed Alabama also.
Yeah.
We don't get a whole lot of privileges from YouTube.
No, we don't. We just have to dodge them. But we've stayed pretty much under the radar because we're a gun show. It's this nonsense about somebody will claim a copyright infringement off the president's speech and claim there's music in the background. I mean, it's so stupid. Adam, kind of the gun control idiot of the day is a woman named Shannon Watts. She's a citizen gun control, common sense gun control.
Yes.
And she wants to ban this terrible ammunition that can shoot right through a police ballistic vest. It's called centerfire ammunition. You know, as they point out in this article, I guess that's right. I'm trying to think. 223 is probably the lowest centerfire caliber.
And is she trying to group all center
fire? She says these bullets that she said we want to ban every bullet that can cut through or penetrate through a ballistic vest. Well, that's every center fire ammunition.
Rifle.
Most of the time when police are shot, it's with a pistol, not a rifle. But your AR-15 will shoot through a ballistic vest. I mean, unless it's one of the ones that has the steel plates. And,
yeah,
and then it kind of
depends. Steel or ceramic.
Yeah, yeah, ceramic. And those things weigh so much. But
the ceramic in the new version now. It's the dense
carbon.
It's like
a nano thing.
Yeah, it's dense nanocarbon or something like that.
Yeah, right, right.
Very, very neat stuff.
I know. I had one of the lightweight ones that somebody that had a law enforcement grant supplied us with, and it was one of these, you know, it's about $900, and it still is so hot. And it made it look like, you know, you're taking steroids for a month, you know. But, you know, for a while I wore it every anniversary of 9/11, you know, because that was a big day. But that's typical. And then the other thing is all the so-called STEM school shooting. I don't know if you saw it or not. The gun control people tried to take over the memorial. So
yes.
They did take over. And I was proud of those kids for walking out.
They
bunch
got
of
up
them.
And left because they understood what it was, that it was not actually a memorial service. It was just a platform to
more propaganda.
To put down the no guns propaganda.
Yeah. And, you know, I thought Tucker Carlson would get my email. I would have sent it to him. But he even starts his shows being critical of the gun control people for trying to exploit the, quote, mass shooting at the Colorado school. It wasn't a mass shooting. I mean, I'm sorry that one person's life was lost, but it's usually three or more people that are killed in simultaneous acts. So one person is not a mass shooting. And that's the problem with all this. We kind of, with assault weapons, we adopt their language. That's why, and you kind of cued me into this, I try never to use the word weapon when I'm talking about specific as a firearm.
Firearm, exactly.
Or handgun or rifle. But a weapon kind of implies an offensive, you know, dangerous thing. And
correct.
This is a tool.
And I don't know, to me, it's just, and also the term shooters kind of been, you know, used to,
we were shooters.
That's exactly right. And now it's been used, and it's kind of a derogative term now.
Yeah, if you want to say killer or alleged killer or whatever, you know. Well,
to go back to the STEM shooting, the STEM school shooting, those kids were radicalized, and they were radicalized by rhetoric.
Yep.
I mean, really.
Well, and it's amazing. People just don't look past this idiot Cory Booker. He said that there are more regulations on play toy guns than there are on actual firearms. And that's just not true, you know? And he just makes a crazy statement like that. And
just make it up.
Yeah, and I guess it really doesn't matter because you know, you get what you want. A lot of controversy with the NRA. As I tell everybody, if you're in the NRA, you know, write those board members and tell them you want a house cleaning. If you're not, you know, I can understand not joining right now until it's cleaned up. But join Gun Owners of America or Second Amendment Foundation or one of those because we need to help keep alive this fight. I see former Congressman and Lieutenant Colonel Alan West is on the NRA board, and boy, he ripped into them about their lax bookkeeping, and you know, it's all this stuff about LaPierre, like paying for clothes, you know, the typical abuses you see when somebody's been in office a long time. And, you know, you can't keep that covered up. And, you know, that's why what's his name? Oliver North is not president anymore. He wanted to get rid of LaPierre, who, by the way, I read a book about all these old fights in the NRA. They said they don't even think LaPierre was a shooter before he was hired by them. So he's
just a manager. Just with any organization, you have different factions within the organizations. And, man, it's been really not just this year, but for quite some time, the NRA has got different factions and then different groups that's trying to oust other groups. But to your comment, Alan West, and others. And I really first became aware of this internal struggle within the NRA a few years ago with Rob Pincus.
Yeah,
and he had ran for one of the NRA presidents there a few years ago, and he really, just like Colonel Alan West, he had really called him out for being ludicrous.
Well, you find out somebody like him or Pete Brownell, these people doing it for a cause, they find out that some board members are employed by the NRA's ad agency. So they're making money off of it.
Absolutely.
And these other people are losing money.
Absolutely.
So need to clean that up. Folks, it's time for our first break. We'll be back right after these messages with more of Armed Alabama. Give us a call.
When you're running down our country, man, you're walking on the back inside of me.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
Survival kit contents check. In them you'll find 145 caliber automatic, two boxes of ammunition, 4 days concentrated emergency rations, one drug issue containing antibiotics, morphine, vitamin pills, pep pills, sleeping pills, tranquilizer pills, one miniature combination Russian phrase book and Bible, $100 in rubles, $100 in gold, 9 packs of chewing gum, 1 issue of prophylactics, 3 lipsticks, 3 pair of nylon stockings.
Shoot, a fella could have a pretty good time in Vegas with all that stuff. Slim Whitman and the Dr. Strangelove movie, a real classic. Adam, it looks like we have Mike from Grand Bay on the line. Let's take me. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going? I've still got some vocal problems going on.
Sound a lot better.
Figure me out.
Sound a lot better, though.
Not stronger.
I do, but my doctor said there is something going on in my throat, and he's giving me some strong meds.
Yeah.
But anyway,
that's
frustrating. I've got an observation. Some people might not like it, but I'm going to tell it like I believe it is.
Yeah.
All right. When I was a kid, it was like a rite of passage for a kid to play cops and robbers.
Sure.
And cowboys and Indians.
Oh, yeah.
All right. What American boy didn't do that stuff?
That's right.
But anyway, I guarantee you, eventually, there won't even be anybody selling toy guns to kids for Christmas time or anything else, because there'll be so much gun fear
in
the liberals, they'll stop it from happening.
It is so ridiculous, so
it
over
is.
The top.
I'm going to get on off here, sir.
That's a great comment. Thank you.
All right.
You know, Adam, we always talk about home defense, and I know not everybody watches every show, so I wanted to bring – I always try to push a carbine for home defense because it's shorter, and all a carbine means, folks, is a short rifle. It can be – there are carbines as cheap as $299. You can get that high-point carbine, pistol, 9mm or 10. And but what I have today is I have a Tavor, and are we on camera, Laura? And this is 26 and a quarter inches. It's got to be 26 inches long. It's still got an 18-inch barrel, which is interesting, but most of it is in – it's a bullpup design. It shoots 5.56. But let me compare it to a Benelli M2 shotgun. It's kind of a high-end self-defense shotgun. What, at least 20 inches longer than
there's a big difference there.
Yeah, and we just tried it here at the studio. If you went tried to go through horizontally to a door, even through a commercial door, the shotgun didn't fit. And, you know, you never know when you get excited and you start running down the hall with it this way and you caught in your own door.
Well, if you don't train with a shotgun in that capacity, when it comes time to be able to utilize it, you're not going to be able to utilize it correctly with the adrenaline.
Well, that's right. And you know, a lot of people may be bird hunters. They shoot, you know, dove or whatever. That's not the same thing as using buckshot at close range.
Inside of a recoil. Inside the house, yes.
Yeah, and, you know, you need to take a target out and to show yourself, okay, the pattern is as big as a pie plate here, or as small as a pie plate or a salad plate.
Yeah,
it's
it doesn't spread
3 feet wide.
Exactly. It does not spread. Yep.
And if you're comfortable with one and get it short enough, a shotgun's fine if you use it. But you still got the drawback that Benelli, I think, holds 8 or 9 rounds. And, the standard shotgun, what holds 3 in the magazine and 1.
Yeah, and definitely a shotgun is not for everyone. Yeah,
especially a double barrel. Yeah. Now, I've got Joe Biden on our YouTube page.
Creepy Joe.
Idiotic comments. So just get a double barrel shotgun and go outside and fire blast in the air.
You have that video clip on our YouTube page, yeah. So if you want to see that, go to our YouTube page, Armed Alabama, and you can see Creepy Joe and his comments regarding utilizing a double barrel shotgun, walking out onto the porch or balcony and shooting up. Yeah, and shooting in the air. Can you imagine?
Both barrels, he says. Now,
how idiotic.
I don't think he means at the same time, but you don't have any ammunition left. One thing I'm going to show on YouTube, on Facebook, this Tavor here is really kind of a cool design. First of all, I'm going to get it's unloaded, as we see from the yellow chamber flag, but let me get the chamber flag out.
But, Judge, with the most of the barrel actually inside of the gun,
right?
Does that affect at all the weapon's
Generally bull
accuracy pups, or recoil and things like that?
Generally, bullpups have horrible triggers. I mean, that's kind of a common thing. But, of course, I put the $300 aftermarket trigger
in. Horrible in what way?
They're hard to pull or creaky.
It's because of the smooth. It's because of the trigger is actually so much far forward.
Yeah.
And you have so much linkages there between the actual trigger and the mechanism.
But isn't it amazing you can buy a $1,700 bullpup, and then they still have kind of a crappy trigger?
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead. It wouldn't cost them $300 for aftermarket. They could get them for $100.
Yeah, but then the aftermarket companies wouldn't be able to sell.
You notice on the product itself. I've opened the buttstock and I basically pulled the bolt and everything out of it. And that's other than the barrel, that's what you clean. And you could soak it overnight or whatever, in some kind of solvent. But it's really pretty cool. That's somebody thought ahead when they were designing that. And even on the aftermarket trigger, all I did was right below that, I just popped that pin out, and literally the trigger dropped out. It was a self-contained unit, and I put in the new one, just dropped it in, no tools at all. So that was pretty good. But it's got a nice trigger now. And, 15 years ago, I asked a friend of mine who's really into guns. I said, are these aftermarket triggers like Timothy sells? Is it that like the difference between my stereo speakers and then $1,500, $2,000 pair that I really can't. My ears aren't good enough to tell the difference. He said, not really. He said, don't ever try an aftermarket trigger because you'll want to put one in every gun. And he's right. I tell you. And most guns, they make them for about a dozen models, I guess. But most of them are really easy. Of course, my AR, being a Colt, they have some weird proprietary size pins.
Yep.
And it took a lot of work on that one. It wasn't a drop-in. But anyway, it's on there now, and it is really nice. I would have been shooting so much better had I had one of those triggers the whole time and not the military one that came with it. But
let me ask you a basic question. For home defense inside the house, you still say a pistol is really your best?
Well, mine is a carbine. That's what I prefer. I've got several carbines in different rooms, and this is the most expensive, on a rack, loaded, ready to go. And the reason is, number one, it's so short. But see, I have, 1, 2, 3 points of contact on that, or even 4 if you count forearm. So instead of, 1 or 2 with a pistol, if you're holding a flashlight, maybe just 1 point of contact.
So basically, it's easier to hold it steady.
Oh, yeah.
For the average individual who may went to the range a couple of times in their life, or her life, then yeah, a carbine is a and very
like I said,
good
you
choice.
Don't spend $1,700. The high point ones are
lots
fine.
Of
they're $299. The only downside is they have 10 round magazines. I think there's an aftermarket that's 15 rounds that you can use in it. But of course, this one I've tricked out with the EOTech sight, which is not it's a reticle. I can't even pronounce the word properly. It's not a magnifier, but if you get that lined up, now I've got it lined up for 20 feet because most of the time you'd have it lined up for 100 or 200 yards or whatever. It's very easy to change, but you know I don't want to do calculations in my head real quick. Okay, but I've also got a green dot laser on it, which you can put them both on the wall and have the green dot line up with the red dot, and then I had one coming out of it. So get it all, but. No recoil. It's a little heavier than I would like. It ought to be about a pound lighter. I'm sure the newer versions maybe are. But
the thing about it is that weight is close to your body.
It's close to your body, yeah. And that reduces the recoil. I mean, there's essentially no problem. But I've also got a Beretta Storm. I've got an M1 carbine, which they're new M1 carbines that Auto Ordnance / Car Arms make. They're nice guns. They look like the old ones. I mean, you know, if you don't care about having a collectible piece, you know, get the new one. You know, it's going to work properly. And they're also they make self defense rounds for that now. Hornady does, so you don't have to get a full metal jacket.
I love shooting those things.
Oh, they're really cool.
So much fun.
But I've heard that Viet Cong were shot a dozen times with those, and they never stopped.
I wouldn't want to get shot with
it's them. About the energy of a 40 caliber too, yeah. By the way, folks, we got a break here. Remember, our number is 251-343-0106 here at Armed Alabama on FM Talk 106.5. Give us a call or text either with a question or comment. We'll be back after this break.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
You see, in this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns and those who dig. You dig. Which?
Clint Eastwood. I actually watched, not that, I was thinking the wrong movie. I watched, what's the one in Missouri?
Josie Wales.
Watched it the other night, and it's really a good movie. I just don't like, I guess from being a judge, I don't like those kind of violent attempted rape scenes, you know, they just creep me out a little bit. And that was big, those were big in the mid-70s when that movie was made. Remember Death Wish had it. It just, you know, you think, gosh, there are a lot of awful things that happen. I don't really need to see it while I'm sitting here watching this movie.
Or don't give it such graphic details.
Well, that's right. I mean, this one, the girl's practically nude. But anyway, it's a good movie. And
I think you know, it was just trying to be a gritty movie.
Yeah.
You know, and it was.
And remember the banjo song they played in it 3 or 4 times? I didn't until I watched it. Rose of Alabama.
Rose of Alabama. Yeah,
how about that? So there's that connection with Missouri that was interesting. You know, the second big battle of the war between the states, a.k.a. Civil War, was fought. I mean, you went to by the battlefield in Springfield or just south of Springfield, and it's the Wilson Creek, Battle of Wilson's Creek. And when I say big, you know, there were skirmishes before First Manassas and after, but where it involved thousands of troops, and that was the second one. I think it was August or September, right after Manassas in July. So kind of a big deal. Well, we hate all that with the NRA. Maybe they can clean up their act, but it shouldn't stop us from doing what we can do.
Because both you and I are both life members.
We are, and we're both instructors. Yep. And, you know, that's just – I'm not going to abandon them, but I'm not going to be, you know, a cheerleader until they clean it up a little bit. If you join the NRA, and Adam knows this, there's a way you can opt out of getting all those either mail pieces or emails, because – I finally figured out. Somebody told me about it, and I don't get any. I get very little from that.
I do too.
If I get one a month, it's surprising. Yep. Whereas usually you'd get. I think the membership is $30 a year for an annual member. You'd get $10 worth of mail $10 a month, or the mail would come in.
I think it's because you and I both are life members, and so we're not.
Well, they figure they got the money out of us,
yeah,
and they figure we're not going to contribute $1 million.
However, I did get a phone call, I guess it's been a few weeks ago, asking did I upgrade my membership to, I forgot what the upgrade is now.
There's one that's like $5,000 or $10,000, like is it the Eagle,
can't remember.
Gold Eagle, or
something like that? Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think we'll wait. We'll hold off on that for.
I think they might have heard that you and I was friends and thought I had some money.
Yeah, right. Well, I've always thought money is there to be spent.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And that's why
spend it on firearms.
I was kind of collecting all my holsters that they put them in one piece. And you know those boxes, now it wouldn't be a postal box, it'd be illegal to be using, but one the same size as those big postal boxes, my holsters filled the thing up. Yeah, I had a couple, you know, I had like a belt or two in there, but
I got a whole bag of holsters that I never even used.
Yeah, and you know, once you try a few times and then, oh, this isn't comfortable, this isn't safe, whatever, and you just kind of go through those evolutions of them.
And, of course, we always get the question, what's the best holster to use?
And the one you can use the best. It's got to be sturdy and fit your gun and cover the trigger guard.
I mean, absolutely. And you start there, but, you know, depending on your lifestyle or your level of comfort, you know, what may work for me may not work for you.
Right.
You know?
Like if, for instance, I always carry one just from the courthouse that's a level 2, and even this one is with the notch, but a level 2, like a Black Hawk or something like that, where you have to push the unlock button, and which if you practice enough, you can do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't slow you down at all. But that's because I was around, you know, criminals that could grab the gun. So I wanted to do that. And if I was an open carrier, I would say, hey, be safe. Learn how to use like a level 2 retention holster. I don't think there are a lot of cases of people coming up and stealing your gun, but, you know, that'll prevent them doing it, and it'll stop any criticism somebody has. Oh, you're open carry. Well, I've got a level 2 holster here. You don't understand.
I don't know what it is about Walmart, but when I go in Walmart, it's like every guy you see is open carrying. And, which is fine.
I think people do it deliberately. Well, it's, Walmart has harassed people.
Make a point. That's fine. But if you're going to carry, just like you stated, carry in a double, at least a double retention holster.
Yeah, I mean, I see
something
somebody
that's very hardy. But they always do it. It looks like the gun is about to fall out as soon as they bend over. And it's
well, the first
ridiculous.
Problem is they bought a Walmart holster.
That's exactly. You know? They probably bought the holster right there.
You know, you got to spend. Oh, let's say at least $30 to get a decent holster, and oftentimes it's $75 or so.
Yeah, I would say.
But, you know, an $8.99 or $10.99 Uncle Mike's might work, but, you know, I wouldn't feel as comfortable with it as a lot of them.
I would be.
And a good belt.
To me, it would be my look. Somebody use, you know, the shoot the place up would be the very firearm I had on my hip.
Yeah.
With no retention device, no strap or anything else like that.
And you've got the extra capacity magazine in it.
And I would be the first SOB that they shot, you know, with my own firearm.
Exactly. And, you know, by the way, that's something the gun control people use all the time. You're more likely to have your firearm taken away and be assaulted with it than you are. That is absolutely false.
Yep.
It is just – it's one of those things they just put out there, and it's just false. But, you know, you put it out long enough and people keep – you know, people start believing it. There are a couple of them like that are just nonsensical.
So we're talking about holsters. I mean, I've got, like I said, we got a drawer full of holsters, bag full of holsters or whatever. But the best holster I got is one I have on right now. It's in the waistband holster. Then I carry my Steyr M9, which I got different firearms that I carry.
Yep.
But this holster I had is made by a friend of mine. I'm not going to give his whole name, but Mr. Brooks, if you're listening.
Made to the holster.
He made
for that holster.
Yeah, I mean, he made it. It's a custom made piece, and he made it probably about 7 years ago. And
right.
I still carry it today. I don't know what I'm going to do when this thing wears out.
Well, he'll make you another one.
Now, is that inside your waistband?
Yeah, it's inside a waistband. Yeah.
He's thin enough to do that. But
and I also. But
is it square on your hip or around toward the back? Or
no, it's on my hip, just on a little on the.
You got about pants about an inch bigger or have the ones a little elastic in it.
I like them grandpa pants.
Yeah. That
they had the little elastic in it.
Yeah, and the excuse you can use is, I have them carrying a firearm. determined sometimes I don't.
Yeah, well, I'm pushing 50.
It's
so
not because of my
waist.
He'll be there soon enough.
And by the way, McCoy's has a great selection of holsters.
Yep.
I've got a.
They have a great selection of firearms, period.
A SIG 230, which is a 9mm, but it's almost a full size handgun, semi automatic. And they had a Black Hawk holster for it. You know, level 2 retention holster. Any you could put a magazine in there too. So it's really, I was really surprised. So especially if you're not really that into guns, pick up a holster while you're there too. It's just like a scope for your hunting rifle. You know, you're going to spend, let's say, $699 on your hunting rifle. You need to spend more than $49 on a scope. You don't necessarily need to spend $2,500, but you know, $500-$600, you can get a darn good scope. And not have any problem with it. Made in USA.
Make it match the investment.
There you go. I used to be a big amateur astronomer. I don't know why I'm not anymore. But anyway, way too much high-end stuff. But the telescope at that time was probably $2,000. Nice telescope. But, boy, you could buy individual eyepieces, you know, $500 to $800. Oh, you spend probably more on that. But it's one of those things that, you know, you're middle of the night, you're in the country, in the weeds, armadillos around you. You don't want to be screwing with a eyepiece that's fogging up or anything like that.
Right.
But,
yeah, definitely McCoy's is a place to go when you're looking for a pistol, handgun, shotgun, or
and
a holster.
Probably a belt, too.
We started
talking about belt. You know, get a belt. We generally wear these kind of law enforcement training belts or whatever. I don't know what they're made of, some kind of laminated cloth.
Yeah. Heavy canvas and then also heavy leather.
Yeah, and when I wore a suit every day, I bought a Kevlar belt. It was black, imitation leather, but it looked just like a good leather belt. I mean, an old-time one that's real cowhide, not, you know, Chinese cowhide or whatever. That'll be fine, too, because if you've got a good holster and somebody grabs your holster and handgun – you know, you don't want your belt breaking.
Nope.
And that's the first thing it'll go, because so many people spend, you know, all kind of money on these designer belts and all, and it's just not going to hold it. And if you've got, I mean, I've got a Smith & Wesson 639 here. It's a single stack, 9mm old. It's from the 80s, but it's pretty heavy. And so, you know, even with this one, I get a little bit of sag, but not much. But if I had it on the typical kind of, you know, high style belt, it would not work. So that's something very important to do.
So if you're looking for a handgun holster, rifle or shotgun, definitely McCoy Outdoors is the place to go, because they have got a very knowledgeable staff and they've got a huge selection, not only with firearms and holsters, but also with bows. If you're into bows, if that's your thing, they have outdoor clothing,
crossbows too.
Yep.
You know, if you
tennis shoes, they absolutely have everything for your sporting good needs, and they have a huge selection of rod and reels, which we don't talk about that too much here.
Yeah,
but they
used to be a fisherman too. But
they
definitely have
everything you need.
Yeah, there's nothing.
I'm a fisherman for about 30 minututes,
well, especially,
and then I'm done.
If you're doing freshwater fishing or lake or
something. I can't sit that long.
It's very relaxing. Now, I used to have a boat and would take people out fishing, you know, friends, and that was a lot of work because I never did any of the fishing. I was getting everything ready and getting them out there and getting, you know, and especially when you have somebody not used to it. I mean, they hook, you know, I had somebody from out of this area. Sometimes he listens, so I won't say where it was. That, I mean, it was like about a 6-inch long something, and it was like he had caught a tarpon or something. Got to get that off the hook, you know.
You got to make it fun any way you can.
And then get back and then clean. I was one of these nuts that had to have it good, you know, real clean, and that'd take an hour. Sunburned, and I always took, you know, something like.
So you never had an urge to retire and become a charter boat captain?
No. And I always took something like Dramamine because I got sick once. And it always made even the non-drowsy, you know, makes you drowsy. I wondered for years why I would come back and have a beer or two out, fish, and come back, and then, you know, let's say at 1 o'clock, and then sleep till 6 that night. It was the Dramamine, you know, that did that. But I hate that groggy feeling.
So speaking of drugs, before we go into a break, Or do we got to go into a break right now? I'm getting a break signal. So.
We're going.
All right, we'll come back after these commercials with more Armed Alabama.
Take our trips on LSD. We don't burn our draft cards down on Main Street.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Good luck.
That was Taken. I love that movie. It was a good movie.
Yeah.
Speaking of good movies, Judge, my favorite action character, I wouldn't call him a hero. He's very much an anti-hero. John Wick 3 is coming out this weekend. So if you're a fan of the series like I am, I definitely will be there Friday night.
And we like it because of his method of shooting.
Oh, yeah, the gung-fu.
Yeah, some of
But we actually, I actually call it limited spatial engagement. I have to put that little series of words together, but, I mean, that's kind of a technical definition of gung-fu. Yeah.
Why don't we take Glenn, who we're going to dock for some pay for not coming tonight. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Glenn. Glad you could call in.
Hey, man, no problem. Hey, say, man, what is going on with the pool, I say pool, of Democratic candidates? What's the tally up to now, 22, 23?
It must be. And
they're going to start eating each other. I mean, you can see it already.
It's crazy, you know? It is. I think it's well over 20.
Yep.
And it is bizarre.
Bloomberg. And did the Blasio declare already? I think the Blasio declared, didn't he?
Well, I saw where he was going. I don't know that he's formally done it. He is a nut, the mayor of New York, y'all. He's just a complete nut.
Well, the ones I'm really more concerned about, well, I shouldn't say I'm concerned, because I think the Teflon Don will take care of any Democrat that steps up, but the ones that are really concerning to me in terms of the Second Amendment is, number one, is Kamala Harris.
Yes.
Have you seen what she's been saying lately?
Yes,
Kamala Harris?
She's very dangerous.
Yeah, she was saying about if she's elected president, she'll give Congress 100 days to get their act together. If they don't pass common sense, and they love to use that term, common sense gun law.
I love that.
Yeah. And she said, if they don't get their act together, and within 100 days, she'll go ahead and write an executive order taking guns.
That, you know, they just overlook the fact that not only is there an amendment, you can make a real good argument they didn't need to be an amendment because it was a pre-existing right. And, you know, they just go through that like it's nothing to it. And they compare it to, you know, driving, which I don't recall that being in the Constitution. It is incredible. Absolutely incredible. Yeah. But
and then the other guy was Eric Swalwell. Now, this happened, I think it was a couple of months ago, but he got into a little Twitter war with Sergeant Joe Biggs, formerly of InfoWars.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, in a nutshell, Joe Biggs said, look, you want to take our guns away from us? Good luck with that.
Yeah.
You're going to start a war if you do. And Swalwell's response was amazing. He said, well, you know what? It'll be a short war because the government has nukes. So what are you planning to do? You're going to plan to nuke the Patriots?
You know, I got asked by that. I got asked that same question, Glenn, in front of a law school class. They were trying to trip me up. You know, basically, how would you and your buddies fight off the U.S. Army, you know, when they've got tanks? And I said, well, you know, you ought to talk to the Viet Cong. You ought to talk to the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. You know,
yep.
It's asymmetrical warfare has a long history, and, you know, if you could stick it out. And so that's, you know, I hope that never comes to anything like that. But it's just – and then they always – the other myth is, well, you say you have the right to keep and bear arms. What about a hydrogen bomb? Well, a hydrogen bomb was never anything an infantry soldier or militia member would have carried. You couldn't carry it. I don't know if you could.
And they didn't have one of those in 1776.
Well, and, you know, that's just – it's just not something – An ordinary soldier would have carried.
Glenn, and you and I have talked about Cory Booker, who stated that if you know, for his passing laws, he would just do an executive order and then start arresting people.
Yeah, and, you know, we'd say, oh, that's unconstitutional. Yeah, it is, but you got to get a court to declare it that way, which may be tens of thousands of dollars to get to court, and meanwhile, you may be in the penitentiary, you know? So,
yeah, exactly.
So you shouldn't have to enforce your rights. So, Glenn, we better go on to Larry before our time's up. Thank you for calling.
Hey, no problem, guys. We'll take care.
I appreciate it.
Hey, Larry, you're on there.
Hey, good evening. How are y'all doing?
Fine. How about you?
I was doing good and started talking about all this daggum Democrats. Made me think, you know, we just need to open up some more crazy houses. And
well, you know, we stopped kind of confining most people who have mental problems to mental asylums in the 70s. Maybe that's part of the problem.
Yes, sir. I believe you're correct. You know, you guys, I was wanting to see, you know, maybe y'all could touch on this next week or something. But talking about holsters and so forth and belts and everything.
Yep.
But something that a lot of people tend to overlook is cleaning their weapons, and and I've been kind of looking at different kits, like the Otis brand, and, you know, you look at the Remington, they have the plunger system, and then, you know, maybe a rod system versus a cable system, and I was kind of wondering maybe what you guys maybe
one thing I'll
like
tell you or, quick about if you've got a rifle, you're better off with a one-piece rod. Some of them made of graphite. I mean, it depends on what they're made out of. But a one-piece rod, because they say the sectional rods will flex and perhaps scratch the inside of the barrel. You know, I wouldn't have a heart attack over that. But if I was out buying them, which, you know, I have. And what I normally do is I don't use, you know, the bronze or brass brush on the end of that. Every time I'll use it, you know, every two or three times. I normally have the little mop cotton one that screws on the end.
Yes, sir.
And by the way, those will come out, get clean, soak them in Dawn and ammonia and hot water, and you know, clean it with that, and you can get all that crud out and use it again. Just let it air dry.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, you know, I hear recently had the privilege of a friend of mine's father-in-law had passed away, but I had the privilege of cleaning two weapons that were in his safe. And one was a 1937 Ruger, and the Luger, excuse me, and the other one was a 1911.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And
I bet they were just from dust and all kind of, you know, frozen up probably.
You know, actually, they weren't in that bad of shape.
Yeah.
I was surprised. They just needed some tender love and care. But, you know, talking about, you know, sitting there at your house and you've got those two icons in front of you is kind of humbling.
Oh, and you know, that Luger is interesting mechanics when you look at it, you know, how it works, because I've got one. So we got to run. We're near the end of the show. Larry, thank you for calling. I'm going to bring in some cleaning products next week. We'll go over that.
Yes, sir. Okay. Hey, terrific. Have a great night.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people will leave a gun in their drawer by their bedside table for years and never shoot it, never clean it. Not that but, you know, once a year you clean it, especially a revolver.
I mean,
especially all of them.
Look, we all have those safe beauties that sit up in the safe.
Yep.
And it's easy to let them sit up in there for a year.
Yeah.
And some of them I have that just are collector's items, and I necessarily don't shoot them that much.
I know.
One is a Garand. I may have shot that maybe once in 2 years, but still periodically take those out.
I go through these
spells.
Well, I'll just clean everything.
Yep.
And
I
think, what have I done? I've got all these guns that I need to, you know, put back together.
And sometimes it's kind of a hassle to drag the cleaning stuff out, and then when you get it out, you're like, well, okay, well, I'm going to clean this one and clean this one and clean that one.
The stuff McCoy sells, it's by some big Remington or somebody, but it's basically sprayed in and it gets all the gunk. It's kind of a dissolver of the all the oil and everything. And then I clean it normally with Brake Free or Rim Oil, you know, after that. But, well, it looks like we're near the end of our show, Adam. Now, you are going to be off for 2 weeks, next week and the next week. So we'll wish you well on that, and we'll do something next week. Y'all have to put up with me. We want to thank all of our sponsors for being with us today. We couldn't do it without them. And remember, you can go to our YouTube channel and watch some of our new videos, subscribe, and then like our Facebook page. And we'll see you next week, 7:05 p.m.